Now, since we have children here tonight, I decided that we were going to basically have Ash Wednesday 101. And so some people might go, oh, I bet I know everything about Ash Wednesday. Why should I have to listen to this? Some of you might be saying, well, you know, it's been a long time since I thought about this, and I've probably forgotten more than I actually knew to begin with. And then some of you might see it as a welcome time for us to teach our children why it is we come here, because that is certainly part of who we are and what we do as the body of Christ. So would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all hearts be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God, our rock and our Redeemer. All glory and honor is yours, Father, now and forever. Amen. Ash Wednesday is something that is celebrated by Christians around the world. And we're going to be going over just a few things. We're going to start with repentance, because part of Ash Wednesday is repentance. And that is what teaches us to become better Christians. Now, a lot of us think that repent means to be sorry, but it's much more than that. It means to turn away from the things that separate you from God. I'm going to ask y'all to do something real quick. Would y'all stand up? So now that you're in worship here right now and you're looking at me, or maybe you're not, but you're looking up here, let's say it that way. When we repent, we turn completely around to see a different way and to put our eyes on God. Turn around and look the other direction. All the way to the back. It's a little different view, isn't it? Okay, you can turn back around and be seated. Repentance is turning around and turning away from the things that separate us from God. And when we turn toward God, He offers forgiveness. Thanks be to God. And so forgiveness then is something that we receive when we repent, and forgiveness requires confession. So confession is the next thing that we'll be talking about. Confessing our sins to God makes them real. There we go. Second slide. Confession, making it real. It makes it real when we say it out loud. What have I done to offend God? What have I done to offend other people? What have I done to abuse my own self, a creation of God's? Confession makes it real, and it allows us to be honest. And when we keep our sins hidden inside in the dark, they can't come out to the light. And it is light that heals us. We are not healed in darkness, but in light. And so when we bring those sins out of the darkness and into the light, we learn what it means to confess and to receive the forgiveness. Confession puts us before God in a very personal way. We are given the great privilege of being able to pray directly to God and to say, Lord, I confess what I have done, whatever that is. And we know that when we pray, God hears us. It puts us in a place to receive God's pure and unconditional love. And truly, unless we're confessing, we really aren't running around thinking we need God's love too much. So every time we confess, it puts us in that place, the best place, for God to touch us and say, you are forgiven, my dear, dear child. Confession gets us ready to surrender to God. Now, we have ashes on this day. And they're kind of messy for a reason. Ashes are messy because it is the sin in our lives that makes us so messy. And so the ashes are a reminder of our sin, but they're also a reminder of our mortality. When you receive ashes tonight, you will hear, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's part of what we do as people of God. To know that we're only here for a temporary time, and yet God waits for us in eternity. And that is the promise of eternal life that we are all given. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's what God said to Adam after he sinned in the garden. He gave him those words. Repent and believe the gospel. You might hear those words, and those are a reminder to every single one of us to repent, to turn around, and to face God, and to go in a different direction. The messiness of the ashes reminds us of the messiness in our own lives. Now, prayer is talking and listening. Did you get that? Prayer is talking and listening. So when we listen, we have to probably think there's going to be a little bit of silence in our prayer time. And silence makes some people really, really, really uncomfortable. Some people can like almost feel the hair on the back of their neck just standing up when there's complete silence. And yet it is in silence that God can speak to us most clearly. An increase in prayer during this time of Lent is a good way to draw closer to God. It leads us into that place where we can kneel at the throne of God and know that He hears us. And when we are quiet, we might be able to hear Him as well. If you remember Elijah on the mountain, how did God come to him? A still, small voice. Some translations even say, when it was silent, that's when God was able to speak. Now, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. We are called to pray about everything and to be anxious about nothing. Rhett, I think I got out of order, but that's okay. We're going to talk about fasting for a minute because that's something some of us did today. But we're not going to talk about that. We did it because remember, we're supposed to be real quiet and look happy all the time, even when we're fasting, right? Okay. But fasting in the biblical sense means to go without food for a certain period of time. And many, many, many stories in Scripture talk about fasting as a spiritual discipline. When Esther was requested from her uncle Mordecai, went to her and said, Haman is out to kill our people, and you know the king. Would you please go and talk to him and tell him what's going on? And Esther said, if I go, I can just go in there. I have to be summoned. And if I go and speak to the king, he could just kill me. And Mordecai says, well, who knows, Esther, if at such a time as this you were called to be here. And so Esther says, I will do it. And if I perish, I perish. But here's what I need from you, Uncle Mordecai. Call our people to be in an attitude of prayer and fasting while I do this very big job for God and for our people. Moses fasted before he gave the Ten Commandments. Jesus fasted for 40 days before he was tempted in the wilderness. Fasting is a spiritual discipline and one that has been used by the people of God for centuries and centuries. Its purpose is to help us draw closer to God through prayer and reading the scriptures, but not to show how holy we are. We certainly don't want to suddenly be put into the category of someone who has spiritual pride. Instead, we bow before God, and when we fast, we do that quietly. Now, there are other ways of fasting, adding prayer into your life, and fasting from whatever it is that you've been doing that's been in the way of you praying. You know, Facebook has a lot of good theology. It has some terrible theology, too. I just want to say that. But here's something I found just today. Fast from hurting words and say kind words. Fast from sadness and be filled with gratitude. Fast from anger and be filled with patience. Fast from pessimism and be filled with hope. Fast from worries and have trust in God. Fast from complaints and contemplate simplicity. Fast from pressures and be prayerful. Fast from bitterness and fill your hearts with joy. Fast from words and be as silent as you can. Now, Ash Wednesday is what prepares us for the season of Lent. And we think that preparation is Advent, right? And it is. During Advent, we are preparing to receive God into the world. During Lent, we are preparing to receive God into our very lives and into our hearts. And so in that way, it is a time of preparation. It prepares us for a more God-centered life. And anyone can participate. No one is too young or too old. I actually saw a picture of my 7-month-old grandson today with ashes on his forehead. No one is too young to take part in this Lenten tradition of Ash Wednesday that begins this 40-day period. Now, 40 days is how long Lent lasts, but it doesn't count Sundays. So if you want to count Sundays, it's 46 days. But Sundays are seen as little Easters, as little days of resurrection, where we can celebrate with Jesus as he has been resurrected from the dead. And it has been celebrated since about the 8th century. We're in the 21st. Do the math. There's been thousands of years where Lent has been celebrated. And when we adopt a Lenten practice, we are just asked to forego whatever it is we've been doing that has been standing between us and God. Lent is the season the church has dedicated to falling apart. It's a time when we come clean about who we are, and the time that we stand before God with no deceptions and no excuses. Now, our last little bit about Lent focuses on communion, which is reconciliation with God and the community. After we receive our ashes tonight, we will approach the table and we will take communion at that time. And Christ is truly present at the table. So when we come, we will have already said our words of repentance. We will have already received the ashes that are a symbol of who we are, a sinful people. And we will know that we are forgiven by God and are able to reconcile with him as we come to the table. And so now let us prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the ashes of Lent.